Okay, everybody, we're live with the Don and Wynn Show. This is Don Newsome.
You're Winfrey.
Winfrey, my co-host.
Another Saturday night.
It's another Saturday night.
And Don is, for those of you that are just checking in and who have been checking in to Blogian Service, Don is the founder and slave to Blogian Service. Are you the slave to Blogian Service, Don?
It's a labor of love. I'm a slave of love.
A love slave.
I'm a love slave, you know?
Yeah, well, you can get a job on the internet. So
I don't think so.
You know, Don works 13 hours or 14 hours a day and putting all the stuff up so that you people can find out what's new and important in the world in a place where it's not that easy to figure it all out.
13 hours a day?
15 hours a day?
Oh, it's got to be more than 13.
Is it?
Definitely, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's, I would say, 15 to 18 easy.
Yeah, so he loves to get emails of people saying how much they love him. So if you've been getting a lot out of Blogging Service, send Don an email.
I have my, you know, that's not necessarily true.
And my name is.
But
Wayne
I do
Gray,
love to get email.
And somehow I wormed my way into being Don's co-host. I don't know if I'm your co-host or you're my co-host. Well, it varies from week to week, right?
What's that?
It varies from week to week.
It does. You know, I even put on the page that we don't know what the heck we're going to talk about tonight. So we're just kind of leaving this one up in the air because, of course, I'm going to be traveling tomorrow. And I have a twin brother here who's going to be talking on the air with us shortly. And and I know we have a wonderful guest also tonight, an interviewed guest you'll be announcing here shortly. But yeah, I'll be leaving for a few days here tomorrow, so it's a little bit crazy around here because, you know, I've got my brother trying to learn some of the ins and outs of the radio equipment and how to handle much of what happens during the course of a day for these live and tape programs, and so we've had a lot of fun here. It's been crazy.
Listen. You know, we almost forgot something, Don.
Oh, that's right. And I apologize.
Thank you. We came on late again tonight.
888 268 4313.
Can you imagine if Art Bell came on every night and said, "Excuse me, I had this problem and that problem, and we're like 5 minutes late"? Well,
5 minutes?
Were we 5 minutes? No, we were like 10 minutes late.
We were ten. Well, you know, I mean, hey, this is community radio.
That's right. This is amateur
radio. Amateur radio, that's right. Okay. You know why I changed that on some of the website from community to amateur? I mean, from amateur to community?
Because people think you're a ham.
Well, no, but close.
Amateur radio is what ham radio offers.
Actually, some of our hosts said, you know, you got to change them. I mean, I just don't feel comfortable being on amateur radio. So, of course, I had to change the name, and it made them feel better that I put community radio.
I see. You weren't courageous enough to say professional radio, right?
Well, you know, I like the fact that this is amateur radio. I mean, I think, again, you were the one who taught me that, Wynn. Remember? You remember what you taught me that was so important?
Nope. I taught you a lot of things, so I can't remember all of it.
Well, this was one that, well, it was something. It had something to do with if you take a message and you try to put it in a professional spin on it, and you keep it too professional, that you're going to ruin the message. You remember that?
Well, I think it's a possible. It's a strong possibility. It's not. I don't think that's necessarily absolutely true because there have been things which have been very professional that have been very moving and touching. The problem is that once you start getting involved and people's livelihoods are at stake, and people's incomes are at stake, then people are concerned about what you do. You have to answer to people. You and I don't have to answer to anyone but each other. And in fact, you don't even have to answer to me because it's your radio station. You could fire me next week.
I'm not even paying you. How can I fire you?
All right. Well, you could say, when we don't want you. But so we can discuss topics and bring things on, and we don't have to worry about anything.
Well, that's right. We're our own boss.
That's right. We don't make much money.
We don't make any.
We don't make any, right? But at least we don't have to worry about anything.
You know, that reminds me, and this is, you know, a lot of people write, we get about 400 plus emails a day, folks, and you can imagine it gets grueling at times. And I've had the emails actually sent to me that say that they want archives up, they want them up now. Mm-hmm. And they'll send them to me two, three, same guy or same lady, two, three, four, five times. Every day, maybe twice, ask me why this archive isn't up or that archive isn't up. And they get quite perturbed. And
tell them if they think it's important for blogging to run more efficiently, they should volunteer and do something so you have more time.
Well, actually, one of them, laid into me about how things were not up on time and this, that, and the other. It was quite the letter. I should forward it to you. But I answered back and I said, well, I'm doing the best I can.
Mm-hmm.
And, we've got a lot on our plate. There's a lot of things happening. We get a lot of traffic and a lot of emails. And we're trying to provide many different services to our audience. And we just don't have the available time to be on time.
Mm-hmm.
However, considering none of us, and I mean none of us, gets paid for what we do, we would gladly like to hire that individual at the same salary wage as we get and see if they can get things moving.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't hear back from him after that.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Yeah, but I'm amazed. We're really just grinding away, and people get really perturbed when those archives aren't up.
Now, you and I have had a shift in our relationship this week.
Well,
you noticed?
Yeah, I thank you.
No,
did you like the dress
no,
I sent you?
For those people that have been listening from week to week to week, you know, some people are going to connect, will sense the difference, but they won't know what it is. You know, it reminds me a little bit of, did you ever read Carlos Castaneda?
The Constanata?
Carlos Castaneda.
Constanata. That sounds
Carlos
like VD or something.
Carlos Castaneda.
How do you pronounce that?
He wrote a series of books called Don Juan, The Yaqui Way of Knowledge. And people that were around 20 years ago, and particularly in drug cultures and in expanded consciousness, that was a very, very popular book. And Carlos Castaneda was a guy who was an anthropology student, I believe, at the University of California at Berkeley. And he went to Mexico to study the Yaqui Indians as part of his projects. And he met this Yaqui shaman who took him in as his apprentice. And so he started writing, he wrote a book about what was happening through his apprenticeship. And what was fascinating about his book is when you read the first chapter, you were reading about a very intellectual anthropology student. And as he got through the book, his whole demeanor started changing. By the end of the book, he was no longer, he was officially still an anthropology student, but he was no longer talking like an intellect. He transformed, and you could follow his transformation from chapter one to the last chapter. Kind of similar thing in the movie What the Bleep, how Marlee Matlin started out in a certain way. Of course, that was like, scripted. But this, I think, actually happened with Carlos Castaneda, because he was initiated by this Indian and he was having all these amazing, phenomenal experiences. And then he went on to write 4 or 5 books. So in a sense, our interaction on the show is like evolving all the time.
It is. We're evolving.
We're evolving. And, you know.
I've already got my tail.
You got a tail?
We're evolving.
Evolving.
It's your tail.
My tail.
You got tail?
Yeah. So.
Well, okay.
So it's kind of like, it feels like this week we're hitting the ground running. You know, I mean, it's like a lot of times we talk and we get into a connection maybe 10 or 15 minutes. And now it's like, if you notice, we haven't been talking to each other so much during the week. But it doesn't feel like there's something missing.
I agree.
We made a connection, and the connection is persisting.
I agree.
Without a lot of attention. Now, do you know what that signifies to me? Well, let me just tell you how I see that, how that works.
Okay.
What's happened is, now, you know, I'm just another dumb human like everybody else. I'm sitting here.
I love the way you say human, by the way.
Human.
You, well, you always avoid the H.
Okay, human.
I just love the way you say it, human. I've tried to repeat it a million times.
There's a veil, and I can't see through the veil. Sometimes people think that people that have phenomenal experiences see through the veil. I can't see through the veil. And, I mean, I don't know anybody that can directly see through the veil unless they go into trance states and then they get connections. I mean, but I'm good at reverse engineering stuff because I was a physicist. So I think about stuff. So what's happened is your soul and my soul have created a commingling on the other side. They're actually, we've grounded our rapport, so there's a connection that's not based on anything in the physical realm. It doesn't have to do with doing the Don and Win show. It doesn't have to do with what you do individually or what I do individually.
That's right.
And we can... What happens is when you think of me, you can feel the connection, and vice versa. So instead of like having to talk to each other to make the connection, it's just there. And unless we really screw up and do something like really unethical or you know, out of outside of integrity to each other, the connection just stays there. So it's the quality that Jesus called communion. Actually take place. And each of us has the potential to create that with those around us, but we can't create it by trying. You have to create it by intending, to really caring, to like looking through a person's negative shadow side and seeing who they really are and keeping the vision on it. And there's still no guarantee that it'll happen, but it can happen, and it does happen. And it's, you know, it's one of those things that I would suggest that people think about and pray that it happens for them, because suddenly you're having the experience in the physical of oneness.
That's
which
right.
Everyone talks about, but that's how it actually manifests.
Yeah. It feels complete. You know, you don't need to do anything or change anything or change anyone.
You don't have to entertain me. I don't have to entertain you. We don't have to do anything.
That's right.
We can still do things, but we don't have to.
That's correct.
You know?
You know, you have a surprise for me today. You surprised me today, and
I was going to tell you a new joke.
No, you were going to. You actually were. We have a wonderful guest today. You were telling me.
How do you know he's wonderful? You don't know anything about him.
Actually, I do know a little bit about him.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
You know, our guest tonight, well, let me give a little bit of preamble. You know, I'm one of those people that have been following the show that is having fairly consistent communication with what seems to be beings in other dimensions. And David Wilcock is one of those people. I started out never having this experience personally, but I started writing the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and there was a case being made for what's actually happening on our planet, this dimensional shift, ascension, how the whole big picture works. And then I started having that experience with girlfriend X, and they were telling me exactly the same things as I was writing in the book that was coming through David Wilcock, which was an amazing confirmation that maybe this is really what's going on. Because anyone that has this experience, at first, they say, is this real? Is this really happening? Am I talking to beings in other dimensions? Do they really exist? Because we have this veil. We can't see them. They don't come to dinner. They don't knock on our front door. And they come in strange ways. And then I found out that there's people all over the place that are having this experience. And in many cases, the exact same story is being told about what's happening on our planet. I got an email from a lady named Teresa, who was in Santa Barbara, and apparently she was going to bed with her husband every night and getting all these messages and trying to tell her husband, here's what they're telling me, here's what they're telling me. And her husband said, you're some kind of nutcase. And then her husband happened to pick up my book and read it and went home to his wife and said, honey, this book says exactly what you've been telling me. And so I could run off 10 people who are not well known. In fact, nobody knows them. Maybe just their husband knows them, you know, or their wife. And they're having this experience and they're getting some kind of communication. And all the communication seems to be pointing to the same end result. Now, I should say that all communication that comes from other dimensions is not positive. There's surface-to-self groups that can channel and come through people. So if you're looking for messages yourself, you know, if your wife starts talking to you and says, I got messages.
If your wife starts talking to you, uh-oh.
Well, if your wife starts talking through you, right, then evaluate. Don't jump to conclusions that that it's a really high source. Be open to the possibility, but you have to test it for a long period of time, or at least some period of time, before you can trust it. Because the negative guys on the other side will do everything they can to look positive, and they're deceptive. It's kind of like a salesman. You ever have a guy who is really charismatic and you just love him, and he has something to sell you, and he's your best friend, and as soon as he gets your money, you never hear from him again, right? He doesn't really care. He was just using his charisma to con you into buying something or to con you into getting something from you. You know, guys are like this all the time with women. You know, they're charismatic and romantic, and then they get what they want.
Hey, you know, I was just wondering, you had a surprise for me today.
What's that?
You had someone special.
Well, we're doing so good that I was thinking maybe we'll just let them listen. No, I'm leading up to it because James Gilliland is one of those people that does have communication with the other side, that does have connection with what I believe are positive forces. And he's written a few books. He also lives on this piece of property that seems to be quite blessed, and he gets endless visitations of interdimensional flying saucers. He's been on Art Bell. He's been on a lot of talk shows. He does a lot of you know, what does he do? He does a lot of expos and is a featured speaker. And he's listening to us right now. And before I introduce him, I wanted to read just like two paragraphs of this book, which every time I open it up, I can't open it up to a bad page. It's called Becoming Gods 2. Becoming Gods 2, Interdimensional Mind, Earth Changes and the Quickening, UFOs, Their Origins, and Intentions. And do you know who James Channels, Don?
No, actually I don't.
Get ready. Ezekiel.
Ah, that's right. Actually, that's correct. You told me that earlier.
Right. Or let's just say it's the voice that identifies itself as Ezekiel.
Yeah, well, isn't Ezekiel supposedly, from what I've been told from several, my main spirit guide?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this could be very special, huh?
Exactly.
Yeah. Here, I'm going to read just like a paragraph. So this is James channeling. Now, he didn't say Ezekiel on the cover. He called it Kazekiel. I think he was afraid that people were going to say he was self-aggrandizing if he said Ezekiel. He can explain that to us when he comes on. There comes a time in your evolution when you realize there is much more to you than your present identity. Many of you are born into families and feel different all throughout your life. Others awaken later in life and also find themselves very different from the rest of their family. There are those that feel alienated from society in general and cannot comprehend nor desire becoming part of the herd of social consciousness. There are those that have a very hard time fitting in, are very misunderstood, and find their present environment very lacking in love, compassion, understanding, and remember another way, another time, when things were different. Deep within their souls, there is a longing to return to that other time or place. They remember a time or place where they were greatly loved, appreciated, and lived in a society that shared in a brother-sisterhood that was far beyond their present relationships. They remember a father or mother that loved them unconditionally, accepted them for who they were, and approved of them as they were. They knew they could always count on their love and understanding. They remember the feeling of being loved, accepted, and befriended by others in a way far beyond anything in their present reality. They may remember a time of abundance where life was easier, a time when the struggles for power and greed did not exist. Deep within their hearts, they long to return to those times. These longings and feelings come for many reasons. There are those who have experienced these feelings in past lives. It is all recorded in their soul as emotions. There are those who have lived on other planes, dimensions, and other universes. Some have lived in very spiritually, artistically, and technologically advanced civilizations. There are some that have family in the stars and in the heavens that love them far beyond anything they have ever experienced on earth. There are those that remember that love to one degree or another are very saddened when they measure that love with the love they receive on earth. They find their parents, lovers, friends, and family falling short of the feelings they once knew. Many find the way most of humanity interact with each other and their environment unbearable. Some of the attitudes, emotions, and actions of some people on Earth are not even within their reality. Many of them feel very alienated, and for good reason. Maybe within their soul, they are more alien to the Earth than others. Maybe they came from a distant star or galaxy where life was different. Maybe they came from a more advanced civilization, and the memory lies deep within them. It could even be possible that they came to Earth to bring that greater awareness to help in service to humanity and the Earth. They bring an expression of a greater love, another way to interact with humanity and the Earth. Maybe we should listen to them rather than shove them into some little box and patterns which have neither served at, what am I reading here? They should listen to them rather than shove them into the same little boxes and patterns which have neither served us, humanity, or nature in the past. Rather than diminish their love, joy, and limit their gifts, why not accept them for who they are and what they have to offer? Why not accept yourself for who you truly are and what you have to offer? Why not come out of the closet, despite the whole of the world. Go beyond the need for acceptance and approval and own your divinity. Let the love, joy, wisdom, and gifts come forward. Call forth the memories and live them. There is not one soul that has not experienced a greater love, joy, wisdom, and a life of limitless possibilities, because that is the origin of every soul. It's time to unlock those memories, embrace and live them. Forgive all those journeys into limitation and all those that did not measure up. Forgive your father, mother, sister, brother, friends, and lovers that cannot remember. They did the best they could with what they could remember. Embrace a greater love. There is a whole universe waiting to embrace you.
You're not going
to
read the whole book, are you? You're not going to read that whole book, are you?
Well, I'm getting into it. Never mind. James?
Yes.
Are you there?
I'm here.
Well, that's... Don, did you like that? You better say yes.
Yes.
Okay. We don't even need James. Okay, just read his book for the rest of the hour.
Okay.
I thought it was very good. I just wanted to...
I know.
Get James on here because we've been sitting with him for 30 minutes. He's been listening to us chatter and hasn't had even a chance to say hi.
So, James,
yes.
Before we put you on the, we start grinding you, is there anything you want to say?
Yeah, I was wondering who wrote that.
Well, it wasn't you, was it?
No.
You know, James, we only do this. We only have the interviewed guest on and we make him wait. And usually at about the 50-minute range,
they hang up.
We figure he's gotten to a sufficient boil. So how are you doing? It's good to have you on our program.
I'm doing great. You know, you guys are having a good time, and that's all that matters.
So, James, I got a question for you.
Yes.
How did you become such a wacko?
Oh, I think...
How did it start? I mean, you were brought up in a normal family, right?
Pretty much.
And, I mean, you know, I always ask this question because somehow or another, people who are, like, portraying exalted realities
mm-hmm.
all have to start from being like everybody else.
Yeah.
And being confused and not fitting in. And how did that happen for you?
I kind of went through all that as a child. I was raised in the high desert and saw a lot of phenomenon there even as a child and was very sensitive then. And then, you know, I got caught up in the outer world and actually, believe it or not, I had a big commercial real estate office and was a board of director on the Chamber of Commerce and everything. And you lose that sensitivity. You lose that, you know, that awareness. Everything just gets beat out of you by social consciousness. And then I drowned myself, you know. I went out and got caught up. I was out body surfing and got caught up in these sneaker waves and had a near-death experience where I drowned and crossed over and then returned from that experience. And from then on, it was just a pretty wild ride.
Yeah.
How long ago was that?
Probably about 27 years ago.
And where were you living?
I was down in Southern California, actually.
What city?
Oh, boy, in Placentia, Brea, and Fullerton area.
Uh-huh. So like Orange County.
Yeah, it's right on the corner of almost each one of those towns.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what was that journey that you took like? Can you explain it, that near-death experience?
Yeah, what happened was on the physical level, I got hit really hard by this, about a 25-foot wave, and it hit me just like a fly, and it dislocated my shoulder and knocked the wind out of me. And then the second wave came, and I came up and tried to get air, and I couldn't breathe because when your diaphragm is collapsed, you know, you can't breathe. The second wave hit me and held me under forever. And then by the time the third wave hit me, I just said, okay, that's it, you know, and I pretty much gave it up. And the next thing you know, I was going through the tunnel that everybody talks about. But what was interesting in my case, I didn't realize it, but I've had a lot of past lives, very high spiritual past lives, as well as some lower ones as well that people don't want to talk about. But those lives kind of kicked in, that training, and I knew don't stop to talk. Just something told me, because I was ascending very fast through this tunnel, and I ended up in this golden white light of the most just loving, joyous, blissful energy you can imagine. It was just pure it was like a golden white light of pure consciousness, the highest loving, joyous, you know, conscious you can imagine. But I was part of that. I was a light being, but there was a greater light around me. And I had a conversation with what I call the source, or this greater consciousness, you might say.
That was 27 years ago.
Yeah.
So you had a conversation with source after you died? I mean, explain that, please.
Well, what happened, the first thing I said was, I asked, you know, how can I stay? Because you're just so blissed out and grateful for being in that consciousness and energy. And there's a thought transmission that came back to me, and it said, I never told one of my children when to come or go. That's free will. And being raised, I was raised in a small desert town. I had to go to a Catholic school at the time because it was the only school there. And I had a lot of images ground into me, you know, about this wrathful guy with a beard, you know, nonsense like that. But so the second question I asked was, how can I earn the right to stay? And there was a transmission back to me, you know, it said, what you can't earn what is given freely and unconditionally. And so I had to process that, and I'm thinking about it, and I'm saying, well, wait a minute, this isn't the image, you know, I was given. This has nothing to do with that. And then finally the third question I asked was, how can I serve? You know, what can I do? And to give something back to this beautiful conscious and energy. You're just feeling so loved and grateful in that energy. And it took a long time for the answer to come back, and then it just told me, it said, you know, it came back to me, it said, what brings you joy? You know, and I was waiting for it to give me this big long list of all these, you know, go save Billy, stop this guy from hanging himself, or do this or that, you know. I mean, I thought I was going to get this big list of things to do or something, but nothing, you know. And I really realized that the only thing that Source wants us to do is be happy, you know, and be in joy and be happy and do what brings us joy, because that's what it is. That takes us closer to that higher consciousness. And then the last thing I said was, you know, I'd really like to return, you know, and go back to Earth and teach people about the true nature of Source and get rid of all these images, you know, these wrathful gods and everything else. And the last words I heard were, as you wish, and I was back in the body. And they were pulling me in, you know, up on the beach. And then from then on, it was I studied for years with lamas and yogis. And I tried to go through conventional teachings, you might, more orthodox teachings, but they're far too limited. And the only way I could really understand what happened to me was to get outside the box and start really learning from some very evolved, you know, lamas and yogis and people of that nature.
Boy, that must have been so interesting. That would have been one of the paths I would have chose if I had the ability to do that. That's exactly what I would have chosen, to be able to take a path of higher learning from these various spiritual masters. I kind of envy people that have the chance to, and the opportunity to do that. Now that I've got you on the airwaves, and I want to ask a few personal questions, if that's okay, because normally I don't ask many personal questions. Mm-hmm. But you, from my understanding, from Wynn, you channel Archangel Ezekiel. And
yeah, actually, it's Kazekiel, which is an ascended version of Ezekiel.
Okay.
And what happened was Ezekiel actually merged with a feminine energy by the name of Kasia. And when they merged, they ascended to the next level. And so it's actually a being that's both male and female. And a fully God-realized being, you might say.
From the angelic Christed realm.
Yeah, it's actually beyond that.
There is realms beyond that.
Yes, there are.
You know, I've heard that twice here in the last week, and that's something I'd like to get into. But, and I really would, because I find that interesting. And I've been told that, oddly enough, by Dr. Fred Bell. Mm-hmm. He said, Don, the Christed realm is not the end realm. There are realms after that, and different energy and vibrations significantly after that. And so you're just verifying what he told me. But I've been told that Ezekiel, Archangel Ezekiel, is my main guide, along with Raphael Ariel, Rael, and a few others. I've been told that I have 22 different entities around me, which seems like a kind of severe or a lot. I don't know why that would be the case, but a lot of guides. And I have a twin brother.
Mm-hmm.
And
that makes it 23.
There you go. And I've laid in bed and I've seen four different guides come to me one evening and show me what they look like, and were right in front of me and while I was doing my meditation, and what was odd is the next morning my brother phones me up early in the morning, and you got to realize we don't get up in the early in the morning unless we're really excited. And Doug was quite excited, and he phones me up early in the morning to tell me what an experience he had the night before. Interestingly enough, we started talking, and we were describing the same entities to each other. So my guess is that he as well has the same guides. Now, that may or may not be true, but I've been told by others that, the same guides. So to me, that's the reason I want to ask a couple personal questions.
Mm-hmm.
One is, what does he look like? Do you know what he looks like? I mean, the main form. I know that the forms at that point are ridiculous, and they choose a form depending on the perceiver.
Yeah.
But I mean, what is the general form that he likes to take?
Well, ask Ezekiel. The way that I experienced him, I was with the Tibetan Foundation, and he popped me right out of my body and took me on a little journey. And I ended up standing before him, and on one side was a small, almost like a little podium, looked like a little marble stand or whatever.
Right.
And there was a golden book on one side, and then on the other side was another little stand that had a golden bow and arrows. And he was sitting in the middle, and he was sitting on a chair, and he was looking straight at me, and there were no words. But he had long golden hair, and he had... and his hair flowed down into his robes, which were golden also, and a golden beard. And they all flowed in together, and it was like a form that he had taken for me is what I experienced. I think he's even beyond the form. You know, he'll take on a form so he can converse or whatever with us, because we seem to need that. But that was the experience that I saw with him. And I think as Ezekiel, he takes on another form that's a little more physical would seem, because that's the next level down, so it'd probably seem a little more physical, and
right,
with the
right.
But I think he has the same long hair, the long golden beard, and everything else to go with it.
Well, do you communicate with him quite regularly? I mean, when I say communicating with him, channel him, impresses your mind with thoughts and images and things
pretty
like
that? Pretty much. Yeah, it's constantly with me.
Constantly?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I were to ask you questions, would you be able to ask questions and get answers?
Maybe. I might be able to.
Or
try it out.
Would they, now, the first thing I'd want to ask, would those questions be more, because so many people, and I've spoken to so many different psychics and mediums and channelers and clairvoyants, and as you know, with the radio program, and they all do things differently.
Yeah.
And some of them feel them, and some of them have an intuitive feeling, and some of them have direct images, nailing them, and some of them can see the apparitions, and when they speak with them, some of them feel energy waves, some of them tune into different frequencies that they align with, and then they can pick out, you know, and deep trance channeling is quite, again, different. So when he would communicate with you, would it be more in intuitive feelings or more in words into your mind or images impressed, or...
A lot of it depends. If I go into a deep meditation, actually I have a photograph of me actually leaving my body and going out of body and going to these places. And you can see, you know, on my website under my bio, I think it's there in the eseti.org bio, but you can actually see my body actually leaving, where I'll go and transcend dimensions and have conversations with them there. And then there's another form where, like right now, because I'm here on the phone, I'm actually sitting in somebody's office right now. I'm not even up at the ranch. But right here, it'd be more of a feeling, you know, just an intuitive feeling about different questions.
Right.
One of the things I was seeing that with your brother is that being twins, you're already linked. And so a lot of the experiences that you're going to be having, he's having as well. And there's no accident of you coming in twins, because you have a really big mission that couldn't necessarily be carried by one.
Right. I have that feeling too. It takes two to do what we do.
Exactly.
And
20 to do what you do.
Yeah. And so, I mean, so you have a whole lot of guides behind this to provide to hold the consciousness for you to do the work that are helping both of you. And then you're the hands and feet of those guides, you know, so you can go forward with this message and with this project that you're doing.
Right.
So there's a lot of juice behind this project. You have a lot of cosmic cheerleaders, you might say, that are getting behind it.
I feel that, and I'm grateful for it, I got to tell you.
You know, there's another thing I wanted to tell you, too, is that, you know, the journey that I went on and that I experienced in studying with all these masters and everything, you've already done that. I mean, it's within you. It's you wouldn't be doing this work if you hadn't already done it. So it's just a matter of accessing those, because we've all done it. We've been the masters.
Right.
We came from the highest levels and descended down into the physical. And, you know, we're on our way back again, but, you know, we've done everything. I mean, I've been a road bandit. I've been a warrior. I've hacked off heads. I've done, you know, and I've been lamas and yogis in past lives. I have full recall of my past lives, all of them, and I've done everything.
Right.
And I feel I'm greater for it, because now I understand why somebody would murder, you know, what drove them to it, and, you know, allows me to be a lot more compassionate and forgiving in these experiences.
Yes, yes. Well, you know that I don't have any full recall or any recall of past lives except in some sort of dreams, and sometimes I get images and thoughts and intuitive feelings, but I never thought it was that important to know.
No.
And a lot of people do. They're so interested in their past lives, it just becomes an obsession. And, you know, I just don't have that need or desire. It just doesn't seem important. The only thing that seems important is how we go at it now.
Exactly.
And in the best way we can. Well, one of the questions I'd like to ask you about Ezekiel is, when he works with us, and often enough, and I try to meditate, but I don't get much time, because I'm putting so much time and energy into doing this and helping it grow so we can help others find their own divinity and prepare themselves for the changes that are coming, and really show them another path that they can take that hasn't been really until recent times given to them, which is that spiritual path, and I even the word spiritual, but that path to oneness and to their own divinity. And so that's what we're trying to help do. And it takes up so much time that meditation's light. But when I do meditate, I see entities all the time, tons of them. I mean, from one alien end of the spectrum to the other, humans to aliens to things that I can only see if I check the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And they're constantly around. But I can never seem to communicate with them in the way that I would wish to. And from what I'm told, I need to do more meditating and more, you know, I mean, feeling. I got to feel them first, and, you know, and I can feel them and feel their energy, and I know that they're there, and I keep trying and keep trying. But the communication, you know, some sort of a direct communication
mm-hmm.
is very rare. Oh, I do get them. But it's rare. And,
well, usually there's, you know how it works. It's very hard to bring knowledge and wisdom from that realm into this realm. There's almost like a net, you know, and you go and you have all these amazing experiences, and then you try to bring it back into this conscious reality and you lose it.
Yeah.
And a lot of that, but the more you meditate and the more you spend time, you know, clearing away those clouds or that net in a way, it starts becoming more and more available.
Yes.
You know, the knowledge, the information on, you know, with me, the drowning just blew me wide open. And when I was with the Tibetan Foundation, what was interesting is that some of their best channels were doing 70%, and these are very, very well-trained channels out there that were doing the work and didn't get certified. You know,
what does
some
it mean
of
to do 70%?
What's that?
When you say they're doing 70%.
Yeah, they're doing about 70%, and 30% is their own belief structure.
Oh, I see. Their channelings were mixed, 70%.
Yeah, and so it's like an orange, you know. You peel it, you eat the meat, and you spit out the seeds, you know, with all information. And what happened with me is luckily the near-death experience just blew me wide open, so I didn't, you know, I lost that, the lot of the misinformation, everything. I had a direct line. And you'll see a lot of people that go through near-death experiences, they just do a total turnaround and have a direct communication and then some work on it and keep it going and use it for the benefit of man. And then, you know, others will either shut it down. And actually, some people become real self-serving and use it to overpower others or
control
others as well.
Right. Well, if you have any feelings on this, if I were able to just say, Archangel Ezekiel, what would you like to tell me at this moment? What's important that I would need to know at this moment that might be able to help me on my journey, help me do what I need to do, or help me understand what I need to understand, or what, you know, that the course isn't, that's going to be for the highest good at this particular time. What would that be? Can you?
You know, what's coming to me right now is just to relax and trust and you know that you're on the path already. And don't be so hard on yourself, like thinking you're not doing this or you're not doing enough or whatever. Just let it unfold naturally. There's other things that you know, the more you try and try to make this into a burden or whatever, and the more you try, that's all the ego doing that. And the more you can relax into it and just let it unfold and not take it seriously, even though it is a major event happening.
Right.
Don't take any of it seriously.
Well, life's too important to take seriously.
Yeah. I mean, you lose your I have people that have all these long intellectual pious teachings. You know,
right.
I start laughing when I hear them and they go, "What's wrong with you?" And I said, "I can't help myself. It's just, you know, it's kind of amusing in a way."
It is.
That we're going through all this ritual and this long pious nonsense to get to what we already are, rather than just being and relaxing and knowing that we're already it, you know.
Well, thank you. That I'm glad you told me that. I needed to hear that. Thank you, James.
Oh, you're welcome. You know, the cosmic joke is, no matter how hard you try, you cannot separate yourself from omnipresence. You can live the illusion, and you can beat yourself up and believe you are and accept other people's assessments of you. But the bottom line is, you know, everything is divine. Everything around you is the creator. You know, the creator is within all creation, and you can't separate yourself from that.
You know how true that is. I'm going to, because my twin brother's here, which is rare. My brother and I work long hours, and we don't have a heck of a lot of time to see each other. We do communicate quite a bit on the phone, though. But it's rare when we get together, and I'll be leaving tomorrow. So he's learning some of what's going on around here. And I wanted to put him on because this gives him an opportunity to jump on the air and maybe converse with Wynn and you, James. And
John, can I ask you a quick question?
Certainly.
Do we have, you know, this? Obviously we're having a really interesting time. Do we have to shut down at 8 or can we?
No, we can go for hours. No one's after us. And if as long as we have listeners, we have mouths.
All right. And if we don't have listeners, we have each other.
That's right. We have each other.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I'll put Doug here on and he might have a few questions. James, you're wonderful. I'll be back on here shortly.
No, thank you.
Thank you. That's, you know, you told me exactly what I thought you would. And because I've been feeling exactly that same message for quite some time.
And you thought you were disconnected.
In a way, you know, exactly, living the illusion. You got it. Okay, Doug.
Howdy, everybody.
Hi, Doug.
Hey. A song just keeps coming to mind. 888. Sorry about that. My brother's been doing that all day to me, and I keep laughing every time he does it.
Hey, Doug.
Yes, Wynn.
I want you to take this opportunity to say hello to your mother.
To my mother?
You know, she's one of our best listeners.
Do you think she's online at this time?
Well, I would bet she is.
I think she just might be, and if she's not, she'll definitely go into the archives section, which Donald's got to do after the show immediately. Yeah, this is kind of fun. I'm getting used to this already. I've only been in the hot seat for 1 second. You know, this is really, James, I appreciate you calling in. My brother was really excited because of the fact that so many people have told him that his, one of his spirit guides are Ezekiel. As for myself, I have a lot of different situations that confront me than confront Donald, even though he says we both work hard. Believe me, I work hard at enjoying joy, and then it propels me just a little bit farther. He does 99% of the legwork, and I do 99% of the joy work. So it's a great mix.
Yeah. Whatever brings you joy.
Yeah. Well, we're actually going to be moving here at the end of the month and residing together in a location which is going to be a lot bigger and nicer for both of us, so we can work together for the first time in 3 or 4 years. We haven't actually lived together in that long, and before, when we were working together, we were able to accomplish so much more, so I'm excited about that.
Yeah, that's great. I have a brother, too, that's very adept in the healing arts, and he does a lot of body work down in Santa Cruz, California. He teaches body work and does fire walks, and he's actually a national champion in Taekwondo, so he's got all these gifts under his belt, you know, no pun intended. But,
oh, wow.
But, you know, he's going to be coming up to the center and working with us and sharing some of his gifts as well, which is going to be fun.
Oh, I'll bet. Is it your mother and your father also live more of a spiritual lifestyle? Or, I mean, are they spiritual in the sense that you are? Or other brothers and sisters you have? Hello, hello?
Hey, Doug?
Yes.
You talk closer to the microphone.
Oh, I'm sorry. Here we go. Is that better?
Oh, were you asking me that question?
Yeah, I was asking you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, actually, what happened with ours, our whole family was very awake. My dad was, he's a dentist and an orthodontist, but he passed on about a year ago. You know, I guess that's what you call it. But actually, I'm closer to him now, you know, than before, because I don't believe in that. But the whole family, my dad was like a walking Buddha. He didn't preach anything. He didn't push anything. He just lived it. So he was a great example. And my brother's very much into the spiritual and the healing arts. And I have two sisters that in their own way are one does hypnotherapy and the other one just is an anchor for the energy. So, and they're all very, very open-minded. The whole family is. And my mom's coming around, you know. My mom's finally coming around because she's just surrounded, you know, and has nowhere else to go.
I believe it. Well, they say for just like the sun gives off a frequency, everybody does, and so hers is liable to rise just simply due to your presence.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, she's pulling out of the kind of a little more of the right wing, you know, and realizing that, you know, the right wing isn't always right. You know?
This is the Orange County right wing.
Yeah.
Before your father passed, interesting, because my brother and I have thought about this. Both of our parents are very, very ill at this stage. Mind you, we know we'll be closer when they do pass. But, you know, we all often question whether we should give them something to do on the other side that will let us know that they're with us in a definitive way, you know, more than just a feeling, knowing sort of a sense, kind of a visual sort of a sense. Did you do that with your father?
Well, what's interesting with my father is that when he had a couple of heart attacks and things like that, and when he came back, it was really interesting. And I'll tell you this story. I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but I was praying to like Jesus and Baba G and saying, can you help this, you know, help my father, you know, bring my father back or take him where he needs to go. Either way, you know, whatever the plan is, you know, I accept it. And when my father returned after, you know, his first heart attack, you know, from the hospital, and I said, well, did you see anything interesting on the other side? And he goes, and he asked me, he says, well, what do you mean you were there? And I said, well, what do you mean I was there? And he says, and he told me, he said, well, you're hanging out with Jesus and some other guy from India.
Oh, wow.
He didn't know who the other guy was. You know, it wasn't part of, he just felt the energy and they were, and I thought that was kind of interesting. But I'll tell you something that is really a stretch for some people, and I'm still processing it, is that my dad, his very last words were, he said, beam me up.
Really?
And then he crossed over. And my dad had some encounters in New Mexico, because he's from New Mexico, and we all know what happens there.
Mm-hmm.
But they actually had ships land in the highway and block the highway for hours. And he was one of the first cars to come across this. And he saw UFOs quite a bit, you know, in his lifetime. But I thought it was interesting. I would say, why were the last words, what do you say, beam me up, and then just gone? You know, that was his last breath after that, and then he was gone.
And he wasn't a Star Trek fan.
Well, no, not at all. So now this gets even more interesting. So basically, after he crossed over, everybody was crying and upset, you know, and processing and everything. And I walked outside, and something just told me, you know, that's just too weird. Why would he say that? Beam me up. You know, did he just mean like, okay, you know, pick me up, God, or whatever? You know, why is he saying that? And so I grabbed my digital camera, you know, being that kind of prove it, show me guy, you know.
Sure.
And I started shooting pictures over the house. And you're not going to believe what showed up on this picture, but this beautiful turquoise light ship hovering over the house.
Really?
And it wasn't visible to your naked eye, but it showed up on the digital camera.
Why is it those things will show up on digital cameras and not to the naked eye?
Because your eyes can only pick up so much of the visible light spectrum,
mm-hmm.
and they're much more sensitive, and they can pick up the different frequencies, the higher frequencies.
Mm-hmm.
They're much more sensitive. But the more you meditate, your eyes can actually move into the sacred senses and go beyond the physical senses and see those yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the more you meditate. But, you know, I had to really... The same thing happened to me when I first contacted the other ships. I was doing an all-day meditation, and these beings started appearing to me and giving me these wonderful teachings, the Pleiadians, and they sounded very Christ-like and very nurturing and loving and cared deeply about, you know, humanity, Earth, trying to help us to, you know, wake up, you know, the awakening healing process and get our consciousness and our environment in order. You know, wonderful teachings, you know, pretty much the same teachings that all the masters have given us, you know, throughout eternity. And I started asking them, well, where are you coming from? I was trying to find out what level of consciousness they were coming from. And they told me they're coming from a ship. And I said, oh, yeah, right. You know, okay, my imagination is run amok now. I quit. I'm going to go out and work in the garden and get grounded, you know. I didn't even make it to the front door, and my two sisters came up banging on the door, and they said, did you see it? Did you see it? And I said, see what? And they go, there's a ship hovering right over the sanctuary.
Oh, my word.
And so I had to own it that there are these extremely spiritual, ultra-dimensional beings that we might call ETs. I'd rather call them the greater family of man. And that there's a strong possibility that when we cross over, we just may end up on one of those.
Sounds to me. Yeah. I like that.
It's not just the playing the harp, you know, on a cloud in heaven. You know, there's a lot of different places we may end up, and we may have come from those places.
Mm-hmm.
I would agree. I seem to think that, just as you do, the higher part of man might be, maybe we are the aliens as we cross over, as we evolve. Maybe that's just part of the evolution.
But you know, I had an interesting question that I asked on a channeling. I don't know if we posted it, but the question went something like this. I forget who gave the answer. The question was, when these higher dimensional beings or ET beings come to Earth, can they come here, and what happens to their DNA? And does their DNA transform? And I said, which ones actually come here? And then they gave a listing of all these different beings, the Pleiadians, the Betelgeusians, and, you know, 15 different, they said, plus more. And I said, you mean all those people actually come here and they're intermingled with us? And the answer was, now here's the shocker, they said, no, they are you.
Exactly.
I get that.
You are, yeah. They're mixed in to us.
Yeah.
So then I went on with my line of questioning. And I said, you mean each of us has DNA that connects to those beings. Does that mean that we are interdimensionally connected to the beings, that we have DNA, that are in our DNA? And the answer to that was yes. So in essence, each of us, depending on our DNA structures, is beaming up and interdimensionally connecting with all kinds of sources. On the other side, except we don't know it. I mean, it's happening vibratorily.
Well, that's why some people are more connected in with the Pleiadians, or the Orions, or the Andromedans, or the Arcturians,
right,
or whatever else,
mm-hmm.
because a lot of those people, those are their ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a not only a physical connection or a DNA connection, they have a spiritual connection as well. But
mm-hmm.
you know, the bottom line is the Earth was colonized. We are the ETs.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a human existing here that was evolving naturally, you know, a knuckle dragger. And the first visitors that came here actually tinkered with the DNA and gave it an evolutionary jump. So, and then it continued to evolve after that. So basically, we're this big mix. We're a big melting pot of the star nations, different nations that came here. Atlantis and Lemuria, those were colonies that were started by the Pleiadians that draw other star nations, and quite a few different groups were there, you know, when the cataclysm hit, and, you know, everybody had to start over as primitives, and some left, and actually left, and then are returning right now.
It makes sense, because as a higher state of being, we maybe fractalize into a subset of consciousness,
mm-hmm.
and represent ourselves in this form to experience life in this way as a innumerable experiences that we can experience.
Oh, yeah. You think about it just on a practical level. What happens when the grid goes down? You know, all your TVs, your computers, everything just goes on a big trash pile, and you're back to bows and arrows.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the more you're back into survival mode, the more... You know, even, you know, there'd be a fall in consciousness and everybody would be back into survival, you know, and then you'd all have to start over again. So.
Okay, here's some tough questions. Ever kill anybody in your dream?
In my dream?
Yep. Ooh, ever heard that question before?
I have memories of past lives that would be considered as a dream, but they're not really dreams, they're memories.
Do you, have you ever found in your dreams that you're running, 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 trying to avoid something?
Not so much. I had those in the past a long time ago, but, you know, the dreams I've been having lately are flying dreams.
Really?
And I'm trying to teach other people how to fly, and everybody's saying you can't do it, and I have to show them, and then they still wouldn't believe me even after I did it, and then I stopped doing it because I didn't want them to think I was doing it just because I was showing off. I was trying to teach them something, and then in the dreams I'd be like a trickster. I'd do spiritual tricks on people and then let them try to figure it out. You know, it was kind of funny.
Do you find that when you're dreaming more and meditating more that you actually can find yourself being a part of the dream as a observer to your actions versus?
Yes.
Yes.
That is the whole key, even here on Earth, is you know, to become the observer and just start watching yourself, watching your how you, you know, react to things and shift out of reactionary mind back into creationary mind where you're creating things the way you want them, not just reacting.
When you meditate, do you ever cry? Do you ever find that it's when you're moving through that third eye that your eyes start to burn and the energy levels get high enough where you can't, where you actually have to blink and it gets really warm and you're teary? Do you read, or have you gone past?
Not so much anymore because that veil has gotten so thin. When there's a lot of people, when I take them through, I call it the psychic barrier, getting past that realm into more Christ consciousness. And when they go through that realm, they bawl. I mean, they get tears, they get everything. And when you reconnect with these masters, a lot of times you'll get these incredible tears, and they're tears of joy and tears of remembering and things of that nature. Now, I used to heat up a lot, and my hands would get real hot and things like that, and I would start, like, rocking. You know, my whole body would be rocking and spinning kind of, but now it's gotten a lot less intense. It's 'cause the veil between that world has gotten much thinner. And that's happening for everybody right now. The veils are so thin right now, there's no excuse not to wake up. Mm. You know, it's right there.
Hey, Doug?
Yes.
You know, there's a couple questions I want to ask, or things I want to bring out in James, because there's things that you wouldn't know to ask him, because there's whole aspects of his personal experience that we haven't touched on.
Good.
So I met James originally, or I met him sitting in the audience at the UFO Congress in Laughlin. And James lives on this ranch in Oregon. And
whereabouts in Oregon?
It's actually in Washington. It's right on the Oregon border, but it's right at the base of Mount Adams, next to the Yakima Reservation, which is basically UFO Bigfoot Central. You know,
interesting.
Paranormal Central there.
And so he was showing these photographs of these transparent colored beings that were extending down into his physical space that he could actually see.
Really?
From spaceships. And he is like, I mean, his particular location is, they pay attention to him. They notice that he's there. They like him. He's kind of like that guy that you had on your show that, we won't mention his name, would beckon them, but I don't think he was positive.
Right.
But, you know, James has ongoing rapport. I don't know if rapport is the right word, but I wanted to give him the chance to talk about that, because actually, in most of his presentations, he doesn't talk about his channeling so much as he does. You know, he's a hot speaker because he has these very documented UFO experiences. I believe he's had news crews at his house. Is that true, James?
Yeah, we've had ABC and Fox News and the History Channel and the Discovery Channel and I think AM Northwest and Evening Magazine, all those guys have come out.
Did they all have the experience of seeing something while they were there?
Most of them did. There was a couple that didn't because it was really bad weather. You know, it was just pouring rain or snowing or something when they came up. I mean, the History Channel people came up right in January in a blizzard wearing tennis shoes and not even jackets, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Came up from L.A., so they weren't, you know, we got them jackets and some boots and things, but the weather just wasn't permitting.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if we have clear skies, your odds are really high that you're going to see some things that you just cannot explain.
Is it generally just orbs that they see that are moving at a phenomenal rate of speed?
No, on the website eSETI, you can actually see photographs that we've taken there, and we have everything from metallic ships to, you know, giant triangles. We've seen pyramid ships and enormous cylinder ships and, you know, the classic discs and a lot of light vehicles, just tons of just enormous light vehicles.
Now, a light vehicle is not a physical vehicle, right?
Well, it could be because they can actually take a physical vehicle and increase the frequencies and vibrations, and it becomes a light principle, which is how they fly. Or it could be an interdimensional or ultra-dimensional craft, either way.
I mean, it's been my understanding, like, these group souls that are very high can actually project a light vehicle into the space.
Yeah, they can actually create their own ship and travel. We had one that was very interesting. It landed on the mountain. I mean, it's enormous, and it was an Arcturian ship. And this ship started morphing. And this is 13 miles away, and it's an enormous light on the mountain.
How did you know it was Arcturian, by the way?
I just attuned to it.
They don't tell you, hi, we're the Arcturians?
No.
Flashing neon signs?
Well, what I have to do is I have to connect in with the ones I do know that I'm very close with and ask them who's who.
Oh, I see.
Is the way I did it. But, I mean, this ship started morphing from 1 to 3 to 4 ships, just enormous ships, and then back to 1 again. And they're showing just an extremely incredible degree of physics. And we had the footage analyzed. Jim Della Tosa looked at some of our footage and with Village Labs. And, you know, these ships are putting out perfect light. It's not a halogen light. It's not a sodium light. You know, it's not an earth light. It's a full spectrum like starlight.
Mm-hmm.
And these things are doing just enormous displays of physics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they power up and they come over the groups and they power up and light the whole sky up and then dim down again, you know. And when they fly over us, we go light it up and the thing lights it up. You know, it can hear you and it's connecting telepathically and they respond to flashlights as well.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, we've got over 3,000 eyewitnesses now with, and some of these are the top physicists on the planet that have come up and have seen these ships. And in each
have they
case,
done a TV show with these pictures of the stuff in your house?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Have they done it? Have they put these pictures on TV?
You know, they, just one or two, it's what's sad about it, whenever I went with ABC, I gave them incredible footage and they played a couple of them, but the really good stuff that's undeniable,
mm-hmm.
They just won't play it because they're still trying to keep it toned down. You know, they're kind of afraid to, you know, they're testing the waters to see what's going to happen. And,
is Don listening to this in the background?
He probably is. He's right here sitting beside me. I don't know if he can actually.
I see, you know, Don is trying to make some pilots for some TV stuff.
Well,
we have a lot of interest in this. And actually, I just met with a producer yesterday that when he saw the footage, he goes, why aren't people banging your door down? And I said, well, you know, we'll see what you do with it. That's what I told him, you know.
Knock. We just might need some of that footage.
You know, I have learned, you know, having these crazy experiences myself,
mm-hmm.
and having them not just crazy, but, you know, validatable, miracles, you know, all kinds of stuff. It's like there's a consensus reality matrix that has been so impenetrable,
mm-hmm.
and that it doesn't want to know the facts that this is really happening.
Yeah.
It dodges it. And
exactly.
It's coming to the point. It's getting really close, though, where it's going to break through. And I think that Don and Doug are going to be one of the forces that cause that to happen.
Definitely be integral parts in it.
Yeah.
I've got two or three people that were really interested. I don't know if I say one of the guys' names, but he's a pretty famous actor. And, you know, they offered me, a nice big fat check and everything to do the movie, but by the time they were done with it, it was going to be another shoot 'em up, you know, aliens come and all this action suspense thing. And I said, forget it. You know, I said, and I kind of tore the check up, you know, and I said, I'm not doing it if I don't have control over the outcome of this picture, because I said, I said, the truth is even more bizarre than fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
And we could do just a phenomenal movie that would just blow people's minds and open up, you know, awaken them to other realities, other dimensions, other planes, you know, and really do a service to humanity. And you could all make $1 billion on this thing too, because people are craving for it.
They are.
You know, the number two thing people hit on the internet, you know what it is?
UFO.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Number two. Number one is sex. Number two is UFOs. So the interest is there. The box office just fills, you know, War of the Worlds, all these other movies, but they all push this negative message.
Yeah.
And, you know, I did an interview with Shirley MacLaine, has a radio show, and I did an interview with her, and I put that to her, and she got a little upset with me when I said it, but I just told her, I said, you know, what's wrong with Hollywood? Why are they pushing this fear, negative agenda? And I know there's billions of dollars poured into this, you know, to keep it as a threat, to keep the Star Wars and the other projects going and everything else. And I said, but, you know, when are they going to come out and tell the truth, you know? And she got a little upset with me and talked about how these people were of such high integrity, you know, these producers and everything else. And I said, well, I said, follow the money. I said, follow who finance this movie, you know, and you'll be surprised.
This is something I've just 3 days ago, as I'm working through this whole integration, as we move forward, we're going to move into the television production realm for blog, BBS radio and blogging service. Believe me, this is all coming. It's one of the reasons why we're here. I know this. But one of the things I read 3 days ago, I started thinking, okay, well, in order to get people to believe or to be captured by this information, you've got to, one, show them that it's possible, okay? Mm-hmm. And then, two, that it's a reality, and two, that the people that have seen this happen in their lives. But I thought, isn't that interesting? Because everybody still feels like, oh, no, it's only happening here or to this remote place. But if you came with the idea that it's happening on such a grand scale, I mean, you actually create the euphoria that it's already a thing that's creating euphoria.
Mm-hmm.
You present the picture that it's already part of so many people's consciousness or mass consciousness that it's hard to believe that you out there, Joe, in the remote part of the world, hasn't heard of this or
exactly.
Isn't aware of this. So in that way, you actually project the opposite of what is occurring. That is that only some people have this information or getting spiritually enlightened or seeing UFOs. It's happening to everybody. How come it's not happening to you? Do you see my point?
Well, you know what? That is what's happening, because if you really think about it, they did a survey, a Time CNN poll, and they said over 80% of the people believe UFOs exist and that there is a government cover-up. So you've got 80% of the people believing there are UFOs, and they're curious, you know, and, you know, they show it's the number two thing hit on the Internet. So that's there. The curiosity is there. Add that, all the spiritual awakenings that are happening right now to people all around the world, it's happening. You know, we're just kind of bringing it to their attention and gathering these people together, but there's a greater force at play right now that's going to expose all of this and make it a personal experience for everybody.
Yes.
You know, and we're just here to help facilitate that. So it's happening right now. It is happening right now, and what you're saying is actually manifesting right now, and we're doing our part to help usher it in.
Yes.
You know, a lot of people, Doug, and, you know, when they have some kind of phenomenal experience, their consensus reality, monkey mind, says, oh, my God, now I can go on Oprah. And now I can, you know, God, my honey's talking to me. You know, it's like until a person moves to a state, like I was saying earlier, you can, on one hand, you can put things right in front of people, and they won't see it. They'll find a way to not see it. They'll find a way to talk themselves out of it. And the first step is getting a person's conscious mind to be open to the possibilities. But I think that it's far more important. I mean, it's not that if everyone said, okay, there's UFOs and there's space people, that is not necessarily going to make a person move into this need and belief that they can evolve. The most important thing a person needs to get is that they can evolve. They are not who they are right now. Who they are right now is just a temporary way station. And once a person knows they can evolve, then they can start visioning themselves. Well, how do I evolve? How do I get more expansive? How do I get a better connection with this?
I agree with you, Wynn, but just I agree with you totally in respect that would probably be the emphasis. But
yeah,
just like in any telecast or any Hollywood medium, there you bring in the excitement, the mystery, the idea that something phenomenal is occurring even outside of their own consciousness as well, to tantalize them, to bring them into the realm of, hey, now let's look at your own consciousness. Let's become a part of this whole thing. So I think it's kind of a marriage between the two.
I mean, you know,
I agree. It's a step. You know,
I was talking to Don earlier because, you know, we're having this meeting on Monday, and I was telling him that for something to really work, for something to make a difference, there's four steps. And I'll tell you what the four steps are. At least this is my formulation of these four steps. And the first thing is you have to get their attention.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if seeing a UFO in their backyard is what gets their attention, fine. If having a miracle gets their attention, fine. If listening to people that have had phenomenal experiences and saying those guys sound like they're really real, fine. But, you know, whatever you have to do to get their attention.
Sometimes it's just a question.
And then once you get their attention, then you have to get their trust. You have to make them think you're coming from a positive place and that you're not going to do them in. You know, the third thing is you have to give them a cosmology that is bigger than the one they have, that is a real cosmology that explains the first two phenomena, you know, the trust and the...
That's a lot to go through, Wynn. First you got to get their attention, then you got to get their trust, then you got to give them a bigger cosmology. Oh, my goodness.
Then you have to give them...
That's a lot.
Yeah, the simple way is just tell them that, like, you know, look, it's there, and then you say, you're connected to it, and then guess what? You are it.
Yes,
you're all
exactly.
It.
Well, you know what? When you start walking around and holding the consciousness of all this higher interdimensional stuff, you automatically do all those things without trying.
Sure.
I mean, you get people's attention.
You know, because Ezekiel said that. He said that, you know, we have no idea what is done on the outskirts of our aura.
Yeah.
And the way we touch people. And we touch people in ways we don't even know of. And just our frequencies and our consciousness, you know, engaging their consciousness. And when you hold the higher frequencies and the higher consciousness, it's you know, it's feeding the one consciousness, the collective consciousness of Earth. And if you're anchoring the higher consciousness into the Earth, it's going to be, you know, one positive being is going to outweigh, you know, 1,000 negatives. It's pretty amazing how that works.
That's exactly the statistic I got in the channeling when I asked the question. One positive outweighs 1,000 negatives.
Exactly.
And, like, for example, I remember when I was in college and I was a total nerd, and I would see these people who were, like, walking down the street, and some of them were Rastafarians,
mm-hmm.
some of them were God knows who, but they were high, not necessarily on drugs. They were exalted energies.
Oh, yeah.
And I used to say to myself, I was learning from them just by seeing them walk down the street.
Mm-hmm.
I said, how the hell are those people so expanded when I'm so contracted?
Yeah.
And,
but you're okay now, right, Wynn? But you're okay now.
Well,
you've gotten past that.
Worry,
if you see me walking down the street and you have that response, you'll know I made it.
Well, I've got to be happy for no reason. Yeah, that's what it all amounts to.
And, you know, sometimes I've said to my, you know, sometimes I've experienced sitting down in a coffee shop
mm-hmm.
and getting into an expanded state, and then suddenly the coffee shop or restaurant fills in with people for no reason.
Yeah.
You know, it's like your auric field is blasting out into the street, and people are walking by, and they suddenly say, let's go in there. The thought comes in. They intuitively pick up the energy. And if you pay attention to it enough, you'll know that you're involved in the creation.
I have to tell you a story. It's pretty funny because I live way out in the middle of nowhere, and it's a little bit of a redneck town, you know, but there's some good, real, you know, solid people there. But I used to go and I'd get up early in the morning and I'd do my meditation. And I'd just be all blissed out, you know, and then I'd go into the little coffee shop for breakfast. And I'd walk in there with this big, whatever eating grin on my face, you know, and just all blissed out and everything and sit down. And the locals would look at me and they thought I was stoned out of my mind, you know. And they go, well, that guy's hiring a kite, you know, and they used to think I did drugs. And
pupils,
you know,
were dilated, yeah.
Yeah, it was hilarious, you know, and they go, how does that guy get there without, you know, 3 or 4 cups of coffee? You know, we're not even functioning yet. And it was kind of hilarious watching, you know, the rumors going around and everything else. And then later on, when they found out that I didn't do drugs, you know, and all these other things, they started wanting some of that, you
yes.
know, and trying to figure out why I was walking around with this big grin on
Give
my face.
Give me that natural,
you know,
injection.
It's kind of steps in a way. First, it was unknown to them, and they're almost threatened by it, and so they had to put it in their terms, and then later on, as they got to know me better and saw a lot of the works we were doing and things like that, they turned around.
When you think, this is the wildest thing. For me, I guess the hardest part for me to have to have gone through these past 6 months of my life through a lot of my transformations is the ability to communicate that on the same level, or at least the subject matter that appealed to me at one time doesn't much appeal to me anymore. A whole different array of things. I mean, a totally different array. So I find that when I go out and I meet people, I'm not so interested in some of the things, and it's tougher for me to relate to people only because I really don't know what they're talking. I don't find it fascinating like this particular subject. So it changes your relationships with people, especially some of the people that you're close with. Let's say you have a girlfriend and something occurs. You have an awakening experience or a near-death experience. You change. Your mind changes. Your knowing, your feeling, everything changes. Then after that, the relationship kind of changes. Has that happened to you at all, James?
Oh, you know what we do is we do transpersonal counseling here. And we actually do a lot of it. I've been doing a lot of long distance clearing with a lot of people in LA and Hollywood. You'd be surprised what's been going on lately. But, you know, I tell them, because we go through and we clear past life, you know, any old wounds and traumas and baggage, you know, in past lives. And then we go on from birth and we go from age one to your present age and pull the major blocks or patterns out. And at the end, they hook up with their main teacher and guide, and they're just blissed out, you know, for 2 or 3 days afterwards and just getting incredible feedback from it. You know, there's people that were going to commit suicide now. They're walking around just happier and clam, you know.
Well,
but it's amazing. What I've seen is that I'll tell people, you know, they're in a relationship, but I said, well, is there any way you can get your mate to do it too? You know, and I'll tell them, like, you know, I'd rather do your mate as well, even if they don't have any money or anything, or don't even want to make a contribution or anything. I don't care, but I want to do your mate at the same time because, you know, because you're going to do a shift. And then after you do this shift, you're going to actually amplify all the stuff that they haven't dealt with yet or haven't healed, and you're not going to be on the same page anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And it happens quite often where one person will make the shift, and then, you know, if one person says, well, they won't do it or whatever, I'll do it anyway because, you know, and eventually the husband will come along or the other person will come along. And, you know, men are usually the slowest. One of the things Baba G told me is he said that women shall be first. And I was asking myself, well, why are you saying that? And he said, because God is a feeling and women are more in touch with their feelings. And they access through their subjectivity, you know, the higher planes and dimensions much easier. And they're much more sensitive. You know, not all women, but,
yeah.
So he was explaining that to me. So it's usually the women that come first, and then the men follow, you know, kicking and screaming.
Now, this is a funny question. I I'm only asking this because I have a hard time with it even still. Always as a young, when I was young growing up, I thought a lot. I'm very cerebral.
Mm-hmm.
But when I go, let's say I would interact without, communication is easy for me, getting in front of a group of 1,000 people, no problem. Hey, you want the life of a party? Just throw me in with a Norwegian. But when it came to going out, let's say I was in the middle of a bar, which I don't have any time to do anymore, goodness gracious, but when I went there, I'd always feel so self-confident, so self-conscious that I couldn't be free. There's a feeling of being free. You see people, they'll get up in their crazy dress and their mohawk hue, and they'll say, oh, look at me, and they can be anything they want to be in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I've never had that capability. Now that these events have occurred on more of a spiritual side, you know, an awakening period, that is, I always seem to want to go back and address that and then take that new personality or the personality that's with me out to these situations with other people around and see if I can't be more free. And I still am not that free. You know, I'm not the sort of guy that'll get into a bar room and just start singing off the top of his head just because he wants somebody to look at him.
Uh-huh.
Is that something that will change, and is that, you know, just natural?
Well, you gotta trace it back to the origin, because you know, maybe you were in some kind of a bar and you were very loud and boisterous and got killed in a past life, or there could be all kinds of things that might be blocking you from that. There's a good example is there's a husband and wife, some real good friends of mine, and they wanted to buy a boat so bad, and we were right on the Columbia River, and so they wanted to get this boat and go sailing. It was their dream. But whenever they got near the water, they just wanted to kill each other. They got real irritated and upset and fearful, and they said just something was wrong, and they started snapping at each other. And then they'd get off the dock and get away from the water a little bit, and everything would be fine again.
Interesting.
And they could not figure out where that was coming from. And so they came up to do some clearing work, and I went and looked into it, and I saw three past lives where he'd actually, you know, they've gotten into just a hellacious fight, and it was along a river, and he actually drowned her in the river, and then twice, and then she killed him in a lake once. And
really?
So that they couldn't come together near water, you know, to save them. They could not come anywhere near water as long as they're together. And as soon as we cleared that up, it went away. And we, you know, they had no more feelings. They walked right on the dock. They felt good. They bought their boat. They're sailing. You know, they're getting along great.
So you actually do
clearings and healings with people,
yeah? Yes, uh-huh.
I guess the reason why I brought that up is just because there's such almost a polarity in the personality of people. Some people, and I don't know why I equate this kind of with freedom. It's like a freedom of expression, freedom to be who you want to be. And you see some people that are capable of just being totally free, regardless of what the consequences or how other people view them, and some people who are not so free.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I always thought maybe that spirituality would change that aspect, but I don't know if it does or if it doesn't. I guess that was the real question.
Well, it does. It actually, if you just clear, what I was saying is that usually that comes from fear. In most cases, there's some kind of fear of being, you know, criticized or harmed or whatever. And if you can go back and find the pattern, it might even be childhood that created that fear and clear it. That usually goes away. But, you know, you might not want to draw a whole bunch of attention to you when you go into a bar and be all crazy. You know, you probably, you know.
You're right.
If you're in the middle of a lot of people that aren't happy and not in their joy, you're going to mirror back to them their lack of joy.
You know,
and some people are very threatened by that. And, you know, sometimes it's just wisdom to be low-key and, you know, kind of observe your surroundings.
Well, then I'm very wise.
Yes, exactly. You know, I've seen it before. I saw this woman just get so upset at this kid because he was just laughing and singing and everything. And same thing happened with my daughter. My daughter's just she's just wise beyond her years. She's 16 now. But she used to check me on things all the time, you know. But what's funny is that she was just having a good time playing and singing and this lady got really upset, this old lady. And she goes, "Can't you control your child like this?" And got all upset about it and everything. And I said, "Why is this a problem for you?" You know? And she goes, "There's no discipline." And she's just getting all upset and everything else. And I said, I bet you wish you could do that, you know. And she just sat there and looked at me, and she goes, "I could never do that when I was a kid." And I go, "Well, maybe you should try it, you know. Maybe that's what you're missing. Maybe that's why you're so upset, is because you were never allowed to express and be in your joy." And she's reflecting back to your own lack of joy. And you know, the woman just started calming down. She started really thinking about it. And I said, "You know what would be really healing for you is just go find yourself some monkey bars or a playground and become a child again, you know."
How much do you charge for these
sessions?
It was
pretty funny, though, but she actually calmed down and everything and started thinking about it.
Hey, James, I wanted to, before we close the show out, mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you, I know you read my book, The Reincarnation of Eddie Casey, we spoke and you had a pretty close take on what the book was projecting
mm-hmm.
for the future. And I think that's very fascinating. It's very relevant because it's like, as I started at the beginning of the show talking about, there's people popping up all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
That are coming up independently
mm-hmm.
with the same perspective. Now, you know, I have people... that I know that are skeptics, and they think that we all joined the club.
Yeah.
And that we're all listening and reading each other's stuff and coming up with the same thing, because that's what we're doing, but that's not what's happening.
No.
It's like, independently, people are linking up with these sources on the other side,
mm-hmm.
and they're giving the same message. So, from your sources, why don't you share how you see the next few years on our planet and what's happening interdimensionally?
Well, basically what I've been experiencing is, what was shocking me is when I read your part in the book about the Earth changes, and I sent out emails all over the list way before I read your book, and I swear you could lay those emails down right on top of yours, and it quotes all the same people, you know, Dr. Dmitry, all the Russian, and it's like I was led in the exact same direction you were, and got the exact same information, the scientific backup, everything,
mm-hmm.
and totally different, you know, from a whole different place or a different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm seeing over and over that the same scenario going on is there's definitely, what I see is that the best way I can explain is that we're going through a shift, you know, a major shift. Everybody's aware of that. There's a higher consciousness and energy that's pressing in on the Earth. And there's some dynamics behind it that science is just now coming to understand. You know, that there's an immense pulse coming from galactic core, which is saying, move, go, you know, we're going to the next level. And everything's reacting to it. You know, the suns are reacting to it, and they're throwing out massive solar flares and coronal mass ejections. And, you know, that's affecting people's consciousness, and it's shaking people up. The bioelectric fields around the human body, people are getting more agitated, irritable, having emotional outbursts, and being pushed to process the lower frequency attitudes and emotions and old wounds and traumas.
Mm-hmm.
And then it moves on through, and it affects the weather. And so we have this incredible erratic weather and you know, crazy tornadoes and hurricanes and things we're experiencing. And then it moves through the Earth, and it actually creates pressure and heat, which has to be released through, you know, earthquake and volcanic activity. So there's an expansion, you might say, a quickening, a healing, and a cleansing happening on every level. And there's dynamics that you can, if you understand the dynamics on how it works, you just flow with this change. Mm-hmm. And you know, your soul knows what's tomorrow, you know, what's happening in the next. And
yeah,
the more you're awake, the more you just flow with these changes.
How about this idea that we're going to have a splitting of reincarnation, where the Earth is moving to a higher dimensional Earth,
mm-hmm.
and that one has to graduate into that? And if you don't graduate, I mean, what's being said by Ra in my book is that those people that still need to repeat the third dimensional experience, which is on Earth,
mm-hmm.
the Earth will no longer be able to provide that.
No,
so,
there'll be another place provided for them where they can continue out their evolutionary process.
In another planet, in another star
system. Exactly.
You're having the same story.
Well, that's what Babaji told me. He said that there is another planet, and I would imagine it'd be some kind of an astral planet or something being created for certain souls that did not make the jump, you know, the evolutionary jump, where they would go and continue out their lessons on that planet. But it's the Earth's destiny to evolve and go to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to go with it. And, you know, if we're going to stick with this planet in its evolutionary process, move it into the next dimension, which is where it's going, we have to rise with the occasion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and get our consciousness in order and, you know, drop the selfishness and the greed and the, you know, actions that are harmful to humanity and the Earth, and that separative attitude and emotion that we all, the me consciousness, you know,
mm-hmm.
have to kind of go out the door.
Well, we only have to affect 51% or whatever the 100th monkey theory dynamic states that you need to reach some sort of critical mass before everybody goes bingo.
Exactly.
So I don't know what that critical number is, but it doesn't mean we have to touch them all, just a vast majority of them.
Yeah, yeah. And it's, you know, it's what's nice to know is that there's this wave behind us that's coming, that the support wave, whatever you want to call it, the other, you know, dimensions pressing in that's helping us do that. And there's so much grace and you know, afforded to us you know, a lot of people don't realize when you cross over, there's this major burn off of all this, you know, nonsense gets burned off. And then you know, a lot of people have their data review and then they move on, you know, to the next level. But,
who does the review?
Well, it's basically, us looking at our own books with the assistance of a angelic guide or master.
Mm-hmm. That's the way I feel.
But it depends on your evolution, because some souls don't even have a review. They blast out and they just go up to the higher planes and dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of them that incarnated from real high planes and dimensions that came back to assist the earth mm-hmm. and help out here. And they don't even have a day of review. They just blast back up to that level.
I think one of the greatest realizations that a person can have is that they have angelic forces around them.
Exactly.
If they really intend to connect with them, they will. The mm-hmm. guides. You know,
there's so much help. People don't realize, but there are nature spirits that are here to help, that are very loving and joyous. You know, there's the angelic guides, you know, the ascended masters. There's the ETs, you know, the spiritually and technologically evolved ETs. There's so much help around us coming to this planet right now.
And you know, I have a little unusual technique myself about making connection with these exterior sources.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not so much different than making connection with people that I know. There's a similarity to it. And that is that if you, like I was talking to Don when we started the show, and I was talking about how when we think of each other, when I think of him, I can feel his energy come back to me very
mm-hmm.
cleanly.
Yeah.
And it's like when a person first gets that idea, they think they're mocking it up in their imagination.
Oh, yeah.
But they're not. You know, I mean, you can send energy to someone and feel it come back.
Mm-hmm.
And you can experiment. Like, think of people you love and send, like we do this, like calling in the light. And I know a lot of people listening to the show feel that energy when we do it. We're going to do it shortly so you can see what I'm talking about. But, you know, when you start to identify an exterior source, an interdimensional source, you sense them almost as an expansion of your energy field.
Exactly.
Not so much as like we try to turn it into like, how come they're not sitting down in my living room and
mm-hmm.
chatting with me and watching Beverly Hills 90291. Yeah. You know, no, it's more like
90291. You watch a lot of TV, Wim.
Yeah. You know, my experience
that's
is
the last time I watched TV, Doug.
Yeah. Well, you know, my experience is that ultimately, you know, the spark can become the full flame, that, you know, your consciousness can merge with the one consciousness that encompasses all consciousness,
mm-hmm.
you know, on all planes and dimensions throughout the multiverses.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody is you. You
yes.
know, and there's no more divisions or separations, which is
absolutely.
Ultimately what we want to get to.
In fact,
but a
in
lot
fact,
of steps along the way, you know, we're gonna see something and go, wow, that's cool, that's interesting. And you go, well, wait a second, that's God too, just as I'm God and everything is God. And then,
mm-hmm.
and then you have to, you know, not be attached to what you're experiencing and just keep moving into more expanded states of awareness and experience all
mm-hmm.
the planes and dimensions.
It was hard for me to get that in the very beginning. I was thinking, okay, if I'm a part of a higher consciousness and there's 10 of me, then, oh, there's all these things in my, so there's 10 people within me. How can I be alone? Who am I? And then I realized, just like the world expands and retracts at the same
mm-hmm.
time, you can be separate and together at the same time. There's no difference. It's like polarity, believing there's
yeah.
big and small and light and dark. Once you reach a certain level, that
mm-hmm.
polarity goes away.
Yeah, so, I met, in my journeys, I connected with my soul, you know, and I said, this is interesting, you know, and he's saying, I'm your soul, you know, and then I connected on the next level with my Christ self, and on that level, you know, he said, I am you, and I'm going, well, how can you be me, and I'm still experiencing me here, and this isn't making any sense at all, you know. And then I connected with Ezekiel, and he's telling me he's on the I am level where they're that Christ love is where God knows himself to be man and woman and each vice versa, you know, it's the merge. And they're more godlike as you move up the vibrational continuum. They connect more into the spirit realm versus they lose, you know, the other part. But the, you know, when I finally hooked in with Ezekiel, you know, he started saying that, you know, you are my hands and feet, you know, so as I moved up this continuum, I had to constantly let go of identity and realize that, you know, I'm all of it, not just part of it.
Yeah, what I realized is that, you know, I say that we're the ground crew.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's very hard to get people on this level. This kind of understanding.
Yeah, and you know, physics has come to that conclusion because basically, you know, the vibrational continuum teaches us that everything goes from consciousness to light to energy to mass.
Yeah.
And everything basically, in a nutshell, is condensed consciousness or condensed light, depends on where you want to look at it on the vibrational continuum, or condensed energy. But it all begins in consciousness, and we're all connected in consciousness. We all live in this sea of consciousness, and we're just these little vibrations or distortions in the field. You know, and we can either be the distortion or we can be the field. And
that's
we choose, you know, whether we're just a body and a personality or are we the one consciousness, you know, that encompasses all consciousness? You know, are we the spark or are we the full flame?
Mm-hmm.
I kind of look at it this way. Let's say you were to cross over and you have your infinite aspects, but let's just call it 10. I've got Don, I've got Wynn, mm-hmm. I've got James, I've got 13 or 14 people that I recognize as me that I can at that time identify with. And then at that point, I assimilate them. I say, okay, what part of James was I at that point that I assimilate now into the now to be who I am? Okay, what part of when was that I take? And then into the future, I assimilate those aspects of that multitude of people or that field of awareness that I want to bring to my awareness to take to that next level to experience. Does that make sense?
And you really think about it, you know, you have to master judgment before you can make it into the highest levels, and you have to master separation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and judgment is what separates. And when you start just seeing everyone and everything as an aspect of the source, and you master, you know, I see a bum in the street or whatever, I go, oh, look, there's God experiencing itself as a bum.
Yes.
And that bum might have an unlimited wisdom and freedom, you know. He can go anywhere he wants, you know, and he's just hanging out, you know, just because he hasn't paid doesn't mean he's, you know, doesn't have something to offer.
He might have my 20 bucks. You
know? You know, it's kind of interesting, but it all becomes a cosmic joke almost when you see all these, you know, parts of. But, you know, I think, too, is that, you know, it's really a lot of the pain and suffering on the earth right now is just directly from misidentity.
Yes.
You know, and ignorance of who we are and why we're here and the connectedness of all things. And that's really what we're here to do is to educate people and tap them into their own divine essence and that everything's divine and bring that out into the collective consciousness.
I wish we could plug a person like Oprah or Oprah Winfrey. Just plug her right into our, you know, I think they're at a spiritual level. But you'd want her to take so much of this information that you're speaking about, James,
mm-hmm.
and let the world know a lady like Oprah could really get the message out.
You know, it's funny,
Stewart.
I sent her my books and videos, and another person knew where to send them. They said, you've got to send them your books and your DVDs, you know, and this information. So I said, sure, you know, no problem. So I sent them to her, and I got them back in the mail.
No.
And I got them back in the mail from the secretary saying, well, Oprah's really busy right now, so and she won't have time to read your books, you know. So the problem is all these people are so insulated, you know.
What we should do is get
do great works and get this information out, but they're surrounded by other people that are, you know, blocking things or you know, trying to control them because of their own.
Slowly but surely,
needs.
We're all like. You know, there's a truth in all of this,
mm-hmm.
and you know, the truth is not just another fad. It endures, and it's reaching out, and it's touching this person and that person, and you know, hopefully we can get these webs of people, so it gets to the people that are higher up that are insulated.
That's your mission next, Wynn. Wynn, I want you to put together all these names of all these people and get an email campaign, a letter campaign going to Oprah Winfrey. Will you do that for me?
Well, you know, exactly. You know, so somebody will hear this show and they'll say, wait a minute, I know Oprah.
Yeah.
And they'll pick up the phone and say, you ought to read this book.
Yeah.
And then she'll actually buy it from me.
Yes.
Listen. Doug, is Don in the background still?
I'm going to swing. James, Wynn, I want to let you know it's been my a pleasure. Thank you both kindly for your time. My heartfelt thanks. And I look forward to speaking with you again, James, and maybe one day soon getting to meet you on a personal level.
That would be awesome. I really want you to come up to this ranch and experience the energies there and see for yourself what's going on.
We will be close. We will be close.
Oh, that's not too far away.
Yeah.
Just a few hours away.
So we're definitely going to have to meet up.
Definitely, yeah.
Hey, Doug?
Yes?
You did a great job, by the way.
Thank you kindly.
I mean, I don't know if Don's going to want to. Next week, it might be the Don and Doug show.
888. I'm still dying on
that. I used to live with twins, Bill and Bob James. It's really interesting. And you know, you guys almost feel like brothers, like, you know, the same.
Oh, we're so close when we're together,
energy.
We're lonely.
Yeah,
that's amazing, but it's true. I go out with them, I feel like, geez, I'm all alone now. What's going on? Happy New Year to you both, to all the listening audience. I love you, and I'm going to swing Don back onto the mic.
Well, hello, everybody.
So, Don, have you been listening?
No, I haven't had a chance to. I was just trying to... get a little work done before we head out tomorrow at 8 in the morning.
You didn't hear me curse you out on the air?
You're lucky. You're lucky.
Well,
you know me.
So you can go back and listen to it and remind your mother.
I got a temper, and I'm coming to meet you. You know, it reminds me of a time when my brother and I were raising some funds for this company, and Doug phoned this guy at, I think it was like 4 in the morning, and the guy was a hard-working guy, and he said to my brother, he said, you ever call me up this early again, I'm going to come over there and punch you in the head. And believe it or not, he showed up one day with a crowbar at the offices.
Now, what did Doug do?
Oh, well, he showed up as a joke, but, you know, these are good friends of ours, but it was...
Doug didn't give him a lecture on how we're all one?
Yeah, this was a long time ago.
I don't become one with the crowbar. You'll be okay.
That's right. Well, we were still trying to figure out why we were two.
Well, you should have pointed at your brother and say he called you.
That's right. I did.
Well, I'm going to suggest that James sends you a copy. You and Doug both a copy of his book. So
I'll definitely do that.
That would be fabulous.
Also suggested that you know, you put a link to his website, and maybe he will take an excerpt from his book, one of his books that he thinks is really good. You know, these are books you can start reading anywhere and read two pages and open them and
read two pages and you know everything, right?
Well, you know, you don't have to read you don't have to read it linearly, because you can just, you know, open it up and we'll go to the right page.
Right.
So put a little bit of James' book up there.
Absolutely.
You know, when we do the $2 download special, mm-hmm. which no one knows what I'm talking about, but Don and I are formulating an idea to bring things like that are great and uplifting, like James' book and different people's books and different people's music CDs. We're going to have a weekly $2 download that anyone can download it from the blog insight. And it'll change every week. And if James doesn't change his mind, he said he would love to participate in that. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have great, great books, great stuff that you can use to uplift yourself.
And some bad stuff.
At almost no money.
Got to keep the balance.
That's right.
We're going to have bad stuff.
We got to have some bad stuff.
Well,
it's being perfect without the bad stuff. You know, you got to keep the balance.
Okay.
Just kidding.
Well, we can put that book that you wrote down.
Yeah, I did. You mean the unfinished one?
The unfinished one, right.
That's already up for free. I doubt anyone's going to pay $2 for it.
I have one of those on the computer, soon to come off.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think we've come to a close tonight. Oh, I wanted to mention that I got an email from somebody that.
Oh, congrats! You finally got one.
I finally got an email. You got 800 a day. See, I like it. You get all the emails. No one emails me, but I got an email from somebody that a month ago had sent in a healing request, which we presented to the Elohim, and they emailed me back and said, "Thank you, it worked." I'm not sure it worked yet, so I have to email them back and find out. But James, I don't know if I mentioned this to you, but I'm going to put up it. Did I mention to you about my emails to heaven?
No.
Is that kind of like the mail to Santa?
No, no, this is real. Don't make fun of this, okay?
So you got DSL to heaven, huh?
No, not. All right.
I want to get on that one.
Yeah, and believe it or not, soon they're installing internet.
All right, I'm going to tell you guys some other time. This is too much fun.
Yeah, they're going to get a harp and a laptop.
What's that?
I said in heaven, we're going to get to heaven. They're going to hand us a harp and a laptop.
A harp and a laptop? Well, there you go. That's funny. A harp and a laptop. Well, actually,
soon they'll have the $2 download.
Never mind. Okay, I'm going to say this because it might be important to somebody who's listening. You know that you guys are giggling, okay? Okay, so we're setting up an email so that you can have. I have my sources agreed to monitor the email so that you can ask those sources for help or prayer requests, and I don't have to answer it. I don't have to read the emails, so I can have 10,000 emails a day. But this is not a joke, because they're real. They mean it. I mean, they've never let me down on something they've said like that.
Mm-hmm.
So this is an incredible way. You know, so many people do all this stuff to make money, and of course, if you want to send money, we sure need it. But all this stuff is available for free. Our Monday night conference call, which is actually a grid healing thing. James, I hope you show up on it one Monday.
That'd be great.
Yeah. And it's a great idea because, you know, we're having a good time. The reason we're having a good time is because we're making a group consciousness and we're experiencing the joy of that.
There are
lots of people out there that feel isolated, insulated, alienated, lonely, and cut off.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't, you know, when you're in that place, it's really hard to reach out.
Yeah.
Really hard. You think you're going to get rejected. And mm-hmm. you think that everyone's going to hate you because you're kind of in the space of hating yourself.
Yeah.
And the thing is, if you go out into the real world, everyone will hate you because that's the way the real world works. They reflect back to you.
Mm-hmm.
So my idea of the conference calls is to create a support system of ongoing, no matter how you feel. Come there. You don't have to be good enough. You don't have to be far out. You don't have to be joyous. But what's happening is the people that are checking in regularly, by the time they hang up, they've changed their space. They've changed their energy. And
sometimes all you have to do is listen.
Yeah, just take part of it. And plus, we're giving permission. Whenever we establish a group consciousness, we're giving permission for these higher interdimensional sources to work with us and use us because we're the ground crew.
Mm-hmm.
They need us as we need them. They don't need us, but they need us to help heal the planet, to help heal us. They're available. And the way they have access to us is through us expanding our consciousness. And one of the easiest ways to expand your consciousness is in a group of high spiritual intent.
Yeah.
That's the when two or more are gathered, I am also present.
Well, the work's here on Earth. I mean, the higher planes are fine. I mean,
yeah.
You know, so the bottom line is, you know, we're the hands and feet, and we're down here to do the work. And
exactly.
Give people a visual, you know, a template or something,
yeah.
You know, so they can.
You know, and people wonder what to do. Well, what should I do? Well, the conference call is something that I'm seeing that other people who learn how to hold the energy can do it every night of the week. So anyone who's in trouble that needs support can find ongoing support at absolutely no cost just by dialing a number. And if anyone emails me, I will tell them the number to call tomorrow. You don't even have to identify yourself. You can just listen, although I like it when people say their name and the city they're in. If you want to check it out, you're feeling too depressed to identify yourself.
Yeah.
I felt that way. I know how it feels to feel that way. And so don't. Just listen in. And just come back when you want. And on that note...
Just come back sober.
What's that?
Just come back sober.
Yeah,
right.
You know, when there was one question before we wrap up, and I'm hoping you're calling in the light again tonight, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Well, the one question I had before we wrap up is, and this is one that I really want an answer to. I've been wanting to ask it, so I'm going to. Is, James, what I've been told that this Archangel Ezekiel is my main spirit guide, does that ring true with you?
You know what's funny is it's hard to differentiate on that level. I would say, you know, there are so many people he's working through that, you know, I'd say
he's probably
your main teacher, you know, main teacher and guide, but on the same level he's working. You know, I've had all these other people show up, and I even had a woman channeling Ezekiel.
Mm-hmm.
And these people got all upset, and they go, this woman's channeling Ezekiel, you know, and you know, you need to stop that and everything else. So I went and I looked at what she was channeling, and it was right on.
Yeah.
And she was doing a damn good job, you know. So, and then she found out that I was aware of it, and she was really upset, and I called her up, and I said, keep up the good work.
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
so that is really a good attitude.
Yeah, and, you know, we can't really own these beings, you know, because...
Oh, no, I think they have lots. I think these beings have tons of people they work with. I'm just...
Exactly.
My question would be, I mean, is my one of the people that he's working with as far as, is he my main guy? That's the whole question.
Yeah, I think there's so many, though. You have so many. I think your guides will keep changing as the need comes, because some have a greater expertise in certain areas.
Right.
So, he's definitely with you now, but there may be another one might come in for later.
Right.
You know, like Mary will come in when there's some real feminine nurturing energy necessary.
Right.
Or love and wisdom will come in through Jesus. You know, there's other beings that are just real, you know, they kick butt. I mean, they come in and shake and move things and make things happen. So it depends on the what you're working with at the time.
Understood.
Not just your own evolution, but the people you're working with too, as to which guide will come in.
Gotcha. That's a good point. I've been told that before, and I believe that. Wow, it has been quite a journey here today.
Hey, Don.
Yes.
You know, you missed a part of this interview that I really wanted, or this talk that I really wanted you to hear.
Oh, I'll be able to hear it. I want you to listen
to this one, because one of the things about James is. And Doug was on when he was talking about it, is that he has had thousands of UFO contacts on his ranch. He's had different news crews from ABC and everybody come up there.
Right.
And they've actually photographed it and haven't had the courage to put it
on the air.
The air.
Yeah.
And, you know, you might want to talk to James, you know, just off to the side, because when he has a really clear weather day, it might be a time to do some kind of footage.
Yeah. Well, okay. James live in California? Or?
Lives in Washington.
Washington?
Ranch.
Ah, okay.
And, I mean, he has interdimensional beings. He's got light beings that float down from the sky. I mean, he's a virtual whirlwind
vortex
of interdimensional connection. And, you know, he himself has been on Art Bell, George Norrie, a number of times. On TV, and nobody's done the right story on what's happening to him.
You know that I would love to do that story.
So,
in fact, believe it or not, James, we could set up and do that story in February and have film crews and a whole bit.
That sounds great.
And I mean it.
Well, you talk to James privately and study his website a little bit.
Yeah.
Read his books, because, you see, James is a great guy to... put out there, because, you know, he has this, you know, the UFO activity, which is really interesting, but he also has all this great wisdom to back it up.
Yes.
So it's not just like, I got UFOs in my backyard.
Well, that's all spiritual. You know, I think that whole realm of the extraterrestrial is part of the spiritual unfoldment.
Well, it is, definitely.
I think that everyone has to consider that not all UFOs are positive, and that just because it's a UFO, I mean, there's people out there saying that UFOs are going to save mankind,
mm-hmm.
and I know that if
you get lots of stories all over the place.
If people don't have the right intention, they're not going to attract the right UFOs.
You know, Zach, we have a saying there, the mind in which you seek is the mind you connect with.
Yeah.
And so when you have somebody that's seeking, you know, approval through, you know, the outer or, you know, self-aggrandizement or attention or whatever else, you know, that they'll hook into lower entities.
Sure. Well, like attracts like. That's
yeah,
the,
I mean, just because you're
law.
Dead doesn't mean you're enlightened, you know. Right. Or
well,
just
exactly.
Because you have a vehicle that, you know, floats around the sky doesn't mean you're Christed, you know.
Right. And that's so true.
But there are extremely spiritually and technologically advanced beings out there that really want to help humanity and its awakening and healing process.
Because, you know, I mean, it's just like channeling. You have to evaluate it on the strength of the channeling. You can't assume it's positive.
Yes.
UFOs, you can't assume they're positive. Mm-hmm. And if you're looking for phenomena, if your heart's not connecting, and if you're just looking for phenomena, you know, you may just get the wrong source.
Well, James, are you, I guess, do you work full time? Do you have a full time? I'm just throwing it at you. Do you have any spare time?
I can create my own time.
Good.
I have the I work with Aquarius Water. We create a healing water that's super oxygenated.
Then my question, the reason I'm just pointing this out here is because, as you know what we're trying to do,
mm-hmm.
and I hope you feel what we're trying to do is absolutely of the highest intent and the purest intent. And I pray for that every night when I meditate. Every
mm-hmm.
night I ask, please just keep this of the highest and purest intent for everyone concerned,
mm-hmm.
not just a few of us, not just the few listeners. I mean, the whole, I mean, all people that are concerned that we can get out of the ego and try to help people in a positive way that was really going to enlighten them and help them find that eternal divine essence that is them.
That's exactly why I'm here.
that's
why I'm on this show right now.
Then I'm going to throw this at you.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like you to consider, and for our audience out there, make sure that you badger them on this. I'd like you to consider having your own show with us.
Oh, that'd be great.
And we'll open up some time slots, and I'll talk with you about that here as soon as I'm back on my trip, which will be, I'll be back Thursday afternoon sometime. But I'd really like you to consider doing your own show, because from what I hear from Wynn, and I trust Wynn's intuition on this, because he is a guy who really, in the end, is coming from his heart.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows how important it is to get out this information, whether it's the paranormal and spiritual, or just bring people's, open up their minds to their own potential and to the potential that God is and the Creator
exactly.
is. So I would, I mean, after speaking with him and hearing you and Wynn's talked to me about you in the past, I think it's important, and I'd just like you to consider it and let me know your decision, and we can make it all happen.
Yeah, I definitely will. When did you want
Good.
To start this project?
As soon as you would like.
Okay.
I mean, the moment I get back, if you like. I mean, as soon as I'll let you know some of the scheduling we have and then see what's best for you.
Sounds great. Yeah, we'll definitely talk later about it.
Wonderful.
All right.
Thank
awesome.
You. Thank you, James.
So let's finish up. And call in the light. And James, we end this show with a kind of a little prayer
mm-hmm.
kind of thing. And Father, Mother, God, I ask the presence of the light to surround and protect Don, James, myself, and that it extends out to each person listening right now. We ask that each of you, wherever you are, can at this moment open up to the higher vibrational emanations coming from the galactic center and feel your own energy field merge with our energy field and merge with those sources in other dimensions and flow through you, let that energy flow through you, through all your chakras into the earth, and that you can anchor and change the energy right where you are in a way that even tomorrow you'll feel that shift, and that you can extend your love and your prayers right now and your light to those people you care about. Send it to them. Send it to those people that need healing. And send it to yourself. And send it to the miners in Virginia that are now on the other side. Send it to our planet. Send it to our government. Send it to our entire planet. See your love and light surrounding the entire planet in a golden white radiance. And that radiance can glow and penetrate the darkest of corners. And that you have the power to do this. And on that note, I thank James for being with us. I thank Don for being my co-host. And we look forward to seeing you all next week.
Thank you. Thank you, Wynn, and thank you, James.
Thank you.
And
that was great. I can definitely feel the invocation at work.
Yeah. And so, Don, you should study James. I shouldn't even say this now because we're finished, but Don, study James' website.
I will.
And learn a little bit about him because...
you can count on it. You can count on it. I think James, I truly believe that James and I and all of us will become great, great friends because, you know, what we're doing is something that so many people are now waking up to help do. And when you find people that are, you know, have made it a mission to be of service to others, yeah, it's quite a compliment. And I just think that we're all going to become very good friends and
yeah,
work together.
Yeah, looking forward to that.
Thank you.
All right. Over and out.
All right. Well, take care, you guys, and thanks so much for having me on the show.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you. Good night.
All right. Take care.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.